Should I preach? Huh? Why can't we have a special singer? David, you and Greg want to do a duet? Hey, they say if you get them laughing or crying, it doesn't matter, you know, one or the other, you know. We'd probably be laughing and crying. All right, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. It's in the Bible. Acts chapter 2. Let me figure out what I've done with my glasses. Yeah, this is one of my, this text here is one of my favorite texts in the Bible, and you can use it for a lot of things. And we're reading verse 41. And remember, this is after the day of Pentecost, after sometime after that. The Bible says, then they, that's the church, that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The title of the message tonight is, Are You Comfortable? Are You Comfortable? And this will make more sense to you as we go along. So, when you get at the very beginning of Acts chapter 2, we had the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit empowered the church that day, depending on where you stand. Some people think that's the day the church started. I kind of believe the church existed and the Holy Spirit just empowered the church that day, because the ecclesia is the word for church, and that means a called out assembly, and they already had a called out assembly, because who did the Holy Spirit fall on? The called out assembly, the church. The Holy Spirit fell on, didn't fall on everybody, it fell on the believers, which we already had people following Jesus. And so, but you know, whatever, if you have another view, that's okay. You can be wrong if you want to, I'm just saying. I'm in good company. But then it says, Peter, after that, what happened, right after, on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit fell, Peter, who before this had denied the Lord three times, preached to the crowd of people that were present. Now he preached boldly. I mean, here he was, a little maid had say, hey, you're one of them. And he said, no, I'm not one of them. And he, you know, even cursed. And you know the story, he denied the Lord three times and then the cock crew. And but now, you know, now he's filled with the Spirit. He's got the power of the Spirit. And he preached, man. He was a Spirit-filled preacher with a Spirit-inspired message, man. And, I mean, he preached to those people. And, of course, the Bible tells us they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, well, what shall we do? What shall we do? And, well, a bunch of them got saved. Huh? And, I mean, so that happened right after Pentecost. And so the results of that filling of the Spirit and filling the church, 3,000 people, it tells us in verse 41, 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. Wasn't from the preaching, it was from all the people's lives, the people that were saved. We see several words, and I've preached on this before, and I got them all underlined. We've seen a continuance in doctrine. There was a continuance in their lifestyle. Their lifestyle was different. There was they continued in Bible study. Matter of fact, continuance in those verses that I just read to you, that's a prominent word, man. They continued, boy, and I mean they were togetherness is another thing that was in that we see there. It says fellowship in verse 3, which would go along with continuance. They were around each other because you know they were different from the world now. They were different. You know, birds of a feather, the old saying, birds of a feather flock together. I mean, you just get around people that are like you in like manner. We went to the family reunion of Sherry's, and she had a cousin she hadn't seen in years. I'd never met him. But they were from up in, they're living up in Michigan now. I mean, he grew up down here in Virginia, but he'd been in the Air Force. He was an air traffic controller. And, you know, they came up and we started talking. You know how your spirit just knits with somebody that's a like spirit. We get talking to them. Well, guess what? They were Christians. His wife was a Christian counselor. He was air traffic controller, man. I mean, we talked to them more than anybody. I mean, we kind of just hung with them. I mean, it was like we went around and talked, but we'd always drift back, and we got to talking about the Word of God. I don't know what everybody else was talking about, but we talked about the Word of God. That's a fellowship there that, you know, where your spirit is, and their spirit is knit together. You can tell that when you get around God's people, and they wanted to be around each other. And then it said in breaking of bread, they were eating together. We're going to have a fellowship dinner next week on next Sunday morning. Okay, so that's what they did. They would get together, man. They would have meals together. They went to church every day. They went to church every day, not because they had to, because they wanted to. And man, then they would eat. They would hang out, man, have food. And then it says, and they had prayer. They continued in fellowship, and they had prayer. This is what they did, a prayer time. I mean, prayer is such an important thing. Our prayer meeting on Wednesday night, weakest service that we have. The least amount of people attend that service than any other service in the church is the Wednesday night prayer meeting. Or whatever, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have nothing to do with the night. It just has something to do with what we're doing. You know, we're praying. I mean, man, listen, when we get down, listen, at the end of a service, at the end of a church service, on Wednesday night or even now, we pray. We're going to have some prayer. There's nothing more important than your prayer life, just about more important than that, because that's our communication, our communion with God, and that's when God talks to you, is when you're praying, man. I mean, listen, you don't believe my sister-in-law. All right, you know, I had a brother-in-law we all prayed for here recently, last during the winter, Jimmy Davis, former brother-in-law, Sherry's youngest sister's first husband. He had cancer. He's moved to Roanoke, and I told you he's cancer-free. Far as I know, that's still the deal. I'm gonna call him up this week. It's been a couple months. He sent me a little text thing, but you know, his Barbie, Sherry's sister, she prayed for him, and her son knew it, knew about it, and she prayed, and then it came up. Well, Jimmy said he was cancer-free. She said, "I don't believe it." And Jonathan, her son, Jonathan says, "Well, that's what you were praying for." He said, "You were praying." I said, "Yeah, I told him." Me and Jonathan were talking about it yesterday, and I said, "Well, that's what she prayed for, right? You're praying for something, and then it happens, and you don't believe it." I don't think, I said, and I looked at him, I said, "That wasn't very much of a prayer, was it?" He goes, "No, it wasn't." Huh? I mean, the prayer of faith. You know, you got to pray in faith, and then it happens, and then it's like, "Well, I just don't believe it." Well, why wouldn't you believe it? I said, why would you pray? You know, if you don't believe that God can do some things, you know, and he can. And so anyway, but, you know, they had prayer. And then it says in verse 43, it says that fear came upon every soul. And, you know, that's a Greek. Of course, it was in the Greek originally. And Greek is real specific. And that word is like phobos is the Greek word for it. So I looked it up. See, and that means like a sense of reverence and a sense of awe. More so than, like, there's another word for fear where you're afraid of something happening to you. This is like a sense of awe because they saw. You know, and why did they have that? They had that because of the change. What they saw was they looked around at all the people that were around them and they saw the changed lives. And I think they were also had a sense of awe about their own changed life, their own changed life. And, you know, Vance Havner was a plain old country guy, preacher, man. I mean, he had some really great quotes and quips. Some of them are funny. But he said this, and this is the truth. He said, listen, if you're the same old person, you hadn't been saved. Huh? If you're the same old person that you've always been since you made a profession or whatever you did, you hadn't been saved. That's just plain and simple. I mean, they had a sense of awe because they could see the change, not only in the people that was around them, but in their own self. They said, man, I can't believe what has happened to me. See, you ought to be able to know that. You ought to be able to know that, hey, you may not be perfect. There's so few of us. you may not be perfect, but you know you were changed. Right? You know that something happened. You ought to know that. It might not be perfection yet, but you know, boy, I'm not the same old boy I used to be, same old girl I used to be. There's a change in your life. And then it says that the apostles did many signs and wonders. It was done by the apostles. Not everybody. It was just done by the apostles. The apostles had, God had given them power. You know, an apostle could raise the dead. I always wondered about this. How did they all die? I mean, I think about weird things. How did they all die, man? If we and you was apostles, well, if you die, I'll get you, I'll raise you back up. And if I die, you know, you raise me up. How about that? The problem is they couldn't do it unless God directed it. Not everybody got raised up. Not everybody got raised up from the dead. So not everybody got, you know, rescued from tragedy either. You know, James had been slain with the sword, and Peter was rescued. Remember when he was in jail, and the angel went in there and slapped him on the thigh and said, hey, get up, come on, let's go. And they went out, and the jailer was asleep, and the door opened up, and they went out. James had just been killed with the sword. How come James didn't get rescued? I don't know. Not everybody gets rescued. Not everybody gets healed. Not everybody gets, you know, raised from the dead either. You know, eventually we will, but not everybody got, you know, but it's according to God's thing. But the apostles, they did many signs and wonders. They did some things by the power of the Holy Ghost. And then in verse 44 it says, and all that believed were together. There it is again. Remember we up there, they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now he says all that believed were together and had all things common, man. I mean, that meant that, like, hey, what's mine is yours and yours is mine, man. If I have something you need to borrow, man, no problem. You had something I need to borrow, no problem. You know, they just shared around there. If I had something you needed and you just said, hey, I'll part with it here, you can have it. You need it more than I do. And, you know, they just shared everything, and that was done out of love, and you know, they couldn't help themselves because they were full of the love of God. That happened, but we see unity is what we see unity. That was a common theme in this whole text right here. There was unity there, and then that continuance in verse 46, we see that word again. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, daily, every day. And breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So we see they were praising God. We see they had gladness. They had joy. Why did they have all this? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. This is it. This was a whole new day. I can't help but, you know, we wonder every now and then. We have a halfway decent service where, you know, think we get excited about things. But I'm telling you what, this is a far cry from what we see in most churches today. We don't see this right here. What do you think the problem is? Not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what they're not filled, you know. And I shared with you, you know, I'm really hanging on that verse, Luke 11:13, last week. You know, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Did you ask him to fill you with the Holy Spirit tonight? Huh? Everybody? Well, why don't we just take a minute and let's pray? Why don't we just take a minute and let's pray? You know, Heavenly Father, according to your word, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit tonight. We'd be filled, controlled by your Holy Spirit, Lord, based on your word that we have. You know, we understand that this is a request that you'll not deny us, Lord, that you'll give us that good gift. And so we pray for that tonight. And help us, Lord, to pray for that every day, that wake up first thing in the morning and pray based on a promise that you have in your word, Lord, that you would give us of your Holy Spirit, fill us with your Holy Spirit. So we pray for that tonight in this service now, and help us to pray that every day. In Jesus' name, I pray. This is something we should have prayed before we got to church tonight. We should have thought about that. You know, he said to ask for that. And so, you know, think about it. That's a really strong word, that word evil. You know, I thought, man, you know, that word evil, I wonder if there's some other word. If you then being evil, are you evil? So is it you being evil? So I looked it up, and I told the Sunday school class this morning, it's poneroi. That's the Greek word for it. You know what it means? Evil. Huh? Hey, imagine that. It's a miracle. The King James translators got a word right in the Bible. Imagine that. That's an exact translation. Evil. I thought maybe it'd be something a little softer. Nope. Means wicked or evil. Wicked might sound worse than evil. So, yeah, evil. That's what it means. It just talks about our nature. It means our nature, us, within us, there's no good thing. We know how to give good gifts to our children. That's really what it breaks down to. How much more would our Heavenly Father give us the Holy Spirit? Man, I'm telling you what, if we asked, you know, he would. So, a prayer we wouldn't deny. We think about that. And, you know, you think about it, okay, And that's this is leading me into what I want to talk about. You know, how many people don't ask for God to fill them with the Holy Spirit? You know, a lot of, I'm talking about Christian people. And so I thought about this. There's some options there. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they didn't know that we should ask. Like, you know, on the day of Pentecost, of course, that was the first time. And he just said, you go and wait in Jerusalem and tarry there in 10 days. They stayed there 10 days. And God said, I'm going to give you the gift. And he sent the Holy Spirit. They didn't know. But now we got the words here after this, right? We got Luke 11:13. So we got that. But they didn't know those things probably. So they didn't know, or they didn't know that they could ask. You know, that's a process. But how about this? You ever thought about it? Do you think that there's Christian people that are afraid to ask God to fill them with His Spirit? I think there's people that's actually afraid of it. So they don't know how. They didn't know they could. Maybe they're afraid. A lot of people say, well, yeah, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or we want to have a Spirit-filled church. Boy, we want to just have a Spirit-filled church where the presence of God is so strong when we come in to worship God. That's what we want. We know that would be, yes, the right answer. A, that is the right answer, that we have that. But let me ask you this. Would there be people that would be uncomfortable in a Spirit-filled church? Amen. You think, who? So here's the question. Who would be uncomfortable in a Spirit-filled church? I'm going to tell you who. Well, look at that. Who would be uncomfortable in a Spirit-filled church? Number one is controlling people. Controlling people. You know, everybody likes to call the shots. Everybody wants to be in control of everything. Their own lives particularly and other things. Sometimes they want to be in control of their life and your life too and control that. And so, but the thing is, when we deal with God, you know, and when we deal with the Holy Spirit, we're dealing with God. And when we deal with God, we meet God on His terms, not on our terms. See, He calls the shots. It's not like God, okay, hey, I want you to fill me the Holy Spirit, and then this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to say, and I'm not doing any more than this, and I'm not doing any, no. No, He fills you with the Holy Spirit, boy, and then He's leading and He's directing, and you don't know what you're going to be doing and what you're going to be saying. He's the one to lead. Now, a lot of times people know, we know this, they want to use God on their terms when they want to use God. I mean, prayer life is an example of this, you know. Use God for a 911 service when you got some kind of crisis. Or how about a rescue service? God's running a rescue mission. Well, in a sense, He is. An emergency response team. And so what a lot of people do, they pray, God, here's my problem. This is how I want you to fix it. This is what you can do to fix it. We're telling God what to do. But that isn't how the Holy Spirit works. You know, we pray, ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, then He's the one. And so a lot of times prayers are based on what people want, and when they want it and how they want it even. I mean, all the little minutiae of detail, they pray that way. But when the Holy Spirit fills a person, or when the Holy Spirit fills a church, guess who's in charge? The Holy Spirit. He's in charge. He's in charge of it, man. We don't know what we're going to do. We might not sing three songs and have the ushers come down and do an offering and then preach for 31 and a half minutes right on the dot, and then dismissing. We might not do that. I mean, you know, we might not even get to preaching. Huh? People giving testimonies. People say, man, I need to come to the altar. People just, whatever, you know. I mean, whatever, however God leads. You know, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit's in charge. And so controlling people are not going to be comfortable in a Spirit-filled church, because He's going to take over. And oh my goodness, they might do something outside of themselves. They might shout amen right out there in the middle of service, and they might raise up their hand up high, and what will people think about that? And boy, they might start crying. They might get weepy-eyed, and they might even come down to the altar. Oh, God forbid, but I might mess up my pants because my knees, but we got a new carpet, it's not that dirty, but I might mess my pants up getting down there on my knees. And what about that old arthritic knee? Well, you can come down and sit on the front row. That's all right if you're getting that feeble, I understand. But I might do something that I've never done before. And I might even sit in a different seat in the church that I've never sat. I might sit on that side. I might sit in the, this would be a miracle. I might sit in the front row.
There's plenty of room.
People don't want to sit with you. Really. But God could make it happen. I mean, it's just like you. What I'm saying, your world just could get shook up, and they're not going to be comfortable in a spirit-filled church when they're not in charge of their life and what happens to be going on. What happens when we get filled with the Holy Spirit? Our wants become a secondary thing. But I got a ham in the oven. So what? I mean, God, man, we're in an encounter with God. They're not going to be comfortable with that. So controlling people would be uncomfortable in a spirit-filled church. The second group of people. And boy, this is going to go right over every, I'm talking to the choir, I know. The Sunday morning Christian is not going to be comfortable in a spirit-filled church. I mean, because see, they already got it down to a routine. All right, this is what I'm going to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. Sunday morning routine comes up. I'm going to get up. I'm going to skip Sunday school, and I'm going to come to church on Sunday morning, 11 to 12:05, and I sure hope he doesn't preach any longer than that. I hope we get out of here on time. And if not, I'll just get my purse or my whatever, and I'll get up and go on and get in the car and leave. But I got the schedule. We got to keep on, and that's it. Man, that's it for the week. I'm done. And we got that. Those time clock Christians, man, they punch in and punch out. And I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying that. But boy, their life is missing something. It's missing something in their life. And then that group is generally not interested in this. They're not interested in other things. They're not interested in Sunday night. They're not interested in the Wednesday night prayer meeting. They're not interested when you say, hey, so-and-so's having a revival, or we're having a revival even. Hey, we don't get our whole church at a revival. You know who don't come? The Sunday morning only crowd. That's who doesn't come to revival. You know who comes to revival? The Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night crowd. That's the backbone of any church. That's who comes. We get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you what, you're looking for places to go. Huh? You're looking for where you can fellowship with Christians. But this crowd is not going to be happy. They're not interested in anything above whatever they have, whatever's going on in their life. And they're not in the same category as the hungry Christian, the Christian that wants to walk with Christ every day, every moment, moment by moment. See, listen, man, my worship service is not going to be over with tonight. Because when I get up in the morning, I'm going to have me some quiet time. I'm going to be in the Word of God, and I'm going to pray to God alone. And when Sherry gets up or whenever we get together, sometimes we do things in a different room, and then we're going to get together, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to walk up the mountain like I do every day, and I can fellowship with God while I'm walking up the mountain. Sometimes I have my best worship, morning worship service when I'm climbing up and coming down that mountain talking to God. I'm going to have a worship service in the morning. Huh? And I'm gonna read the Bible. I'll study, and I'll have another one sometime. I'll have several ones during the week, man. When I get in the Word of God, man, I've got to be ready to preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And when Paul's gone, I got to do Sunday school lesson. When he ain't here, I got to do the song leading too. That's a matter to pray about too. I'm not done having worship today. Today, if this is the only day you worship God. Man, you're so far from what God intended for you. You can't even see it. You're missing the boat by 100 miles. But that crowd's not going to be happy with a spirit-filled church, man, because things are going to get shook up, man. Your life is going to get all topsy-turvy, and we don't like change, huh? We got a routine. We've been doing this for years, preacher. We've been doing this for years this way. It's the way we've been doing it. We don't like that. But he gets you off schedule. He'll get you off your schedule. Oh, what am I going to do? Don't just let him worry about it. let him worry about it. And then, the Sun. Listen, That crowd is not, they don't like to see the altars all filled up with people down there weeping and stuff, because they stand up there and they're not feeling anything about it, and they're not feeling any impulse to do that, and they're standing at the back of their church by themselves, and everybody else is bawling and praising God and having a worship shouting hallelujah, and they're sitting there looking around. They're in awe, all right, but it's for a different reason. And they said, man, I just don't feel comfortable, man. I don't know, because they feel like, well, maybe I should run down there and do that. But listen, that's not what's going on there. This is an impulse by God. A.W. Tozer said it's an afflatus. That's a divine impulse. I never heard that word in my life. He didn't even go to high school. An afflatus. I had to look it up. I mean, there's a lot of big words I know. I don't use them. Can't spell them. He said afflatus. I said, man, I've never heard of it. A divine impulse. That's what it means. Huh? Yeah, that's what's going on. But they're not going to be happy with that. And then people start crying, man. They get uncomfortable. Man, somebody's up there crying. What are they crying about? Hey, you can cry filled with joy just as easy as you can cry filled with sorrow. You might cry more filled with joy than you do filled with sorrow. Huh? I mean, man, because they're full of God. You can't help it. You can't stop. People like the rut. They like the routine. And they're not going to be happy with a Spirit-filled church. Everything on a timetable. Not going to be happy with a Spirit-filled church. All the great revivals I read about in more modern times past the Bible. But I think they would apply here. But some of them in more modern times, and some of the great preachers went to these big revivals. The one common thing was, man, nobody left. They'd have a meeting they scheduled to be there for an hour and 5 minutes, and nobody left. And man, it said they didn't even realize what time it was. Sometimes they were out in fields till daylight. Man, they didn't even realize what time it was, and nobody wanted to leave. That's one of that one they had recently in Asbury, Kentucky. If you study that or read about that, that was the one they met. Nobody wanted to go home. Nobody wanted to go home. Now it's a stampede, man. When church is over, we look out, man. That's why I stay over that way, so I can dive into the men's bathroom. I have to on the way out. So Sunday morning Christians are going to be uncomfortable in a Spirit-filled church. A third group is the pleasure addicts. The pleasure addicts. You know, we got, man, I mean, entertainment has become a god. And nothing wrong with entertainment. But when it becomes your God, it is. And so that's all we think about. What are we going to do this weekend? What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What can we get into? We're looking for stuff. There's nothing to do. Nothing going on. You got nothing planned. You know, you don't see anything. You start getting on Facebook and the internet saying, we got to find somewhere to go, someplace we can do something. We got to have pleasure. And what happens is it rolls into the church. So the churches are saying, well, look, there's this something thing that's going to go on and people are going to do it. We got to have better entertainment than they got. That way we'll draw a crowd. Hey, I know what we ought to do. We ought to bring a big name music group. We'll get somebody to come in. We'll bring somebody in here, can, you know, walk on their hands all the way around the church or something. But we got to bring in something that'll entertain people. We're going to have entertaining music. We're going to have entertaining show. You know, we'll get the atmosphere right. Disco ball, smoke rolling off. Whatever. We'll just do something. We got to have an entertaining thing. If we don't have it, we don't have a killer piano player, we don't have a band, we got to have a praise band, we got to have a band, and we'll get that all set up. We got to have this entertainment to pacify the entertainment crowd that are they're pleasure addicts. And what's happened was, what is behind all that? Well, what it is, it's churches that don't have the Holy Spirit that are trying to replace the Holy Spirit with entertainment. See, you know, because listen, I'm gonna tell you the truth. I could get you crying if I wanted to, huh? I could get you crying, not with a 2x4, but I mean, I'm telling you, man, I can come up with some sad little stories, and I can tell you some things. And boy, you want to have an emotional experience, but it's a man-generated experience, which is really entertainment. That's what it is. You get entertained one way or the other. Happy, sad, whatever. You get entertained. It's not God doing it. So we've tried to replace the Holy Spirit that's not there with pleasure and thinking that we're having a spiritual experience, but it's an entertaining experience. And listen, the Holy Spirit is not in the entertainment business. He is not in the entertainment business. It's not always entertaining when you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God and God breaks your heart down and you're down there at the altar weeping over your sin. That's not an entertaining thing. Huh? When you got to confess, I have sinned. It is me. Huh? You might have to come before the church and say, I apologize for the way I've been or what I've done or something that we've done that's put a bad name on the church. That's not an entertaining thing. That's a humbling experience. Being humbled is not entertaining. That's what the Holy Spirit may do in your life. It's not entertainment whatsoever. And listen, I'm not, you know, I'm all for having singing. I like to have singers tonight. I like to have, the music's great. But I'm going to tell you what, man, if you're singing, and you say, I want to go up there and sing so you can feel good about yourself, that ain't nothing to do with the Holy Spirit whatsoever. We don't have singers so that we can feel good and that you can feel good about yourself. We have singing so that we can worship God. We're not worshiping the person that's doing the singing. We're not worshiping the band or whatever it may be. We're worshiping God. That's part of that. But if it gets out of whack, and it does a lot, we end up, you know, people are singing not because they want to glorify God. They want to show off their talent, whatever talent it is they have. And, you know, so you have to be careful about that. Listen, the Holy Ghost, when, boy, he breaks us down, he empties us of us, and then he fills us with himself, man. It's not about entertainment. It's about worshiping God, and we've got to, get that straightened out. You know, we get the crowd. Boy, that crowd that's once you, that crowd that likes somebody to pat them on the back and tell them all, just be the best you can be, and God understands all about it, they're not going to be happy in a Spirit-filled church. Because the Holy Spirit says, no, listen, the best you can be is not going to be good enough either. And I don't want you to be a better you. I want you to be a crucified you. And I want you to be full of me. And I want me to be seen and not you. That crowd ain't going to like it. That crowd's not going to like it. Boy, I'm supposed to come here to have fun. Huh? Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but when you get filled with God, buddy, it's a great experience. Huh? And I mean, it's a great thing. Huh? It's not entertainment, but it's a great thing. You want real, true joy, lasting joy, that's it. Being filled with the Spirit of God, it's a great thing. And get emptied of you and notice how much better your life will be. Instead of being a frustrated Christian life, you'll have a fruit-filled Christian life. But as long as you're happy with you, you'll never desire a fullness of the Spirit. As long as you're happy with you, you'll never desire fullness of the Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fills us, he disrupts our life. You know, the bingo crowd, the picnic crowd, the field trip crowd, they're not going to be happy with the Spirit-filled church. Won't be comfortable. They won't be comfortable there. The fourth crowd is the power broker crowd. Power broker crowd, man, that's the crowd that they got the position. They want to get in there, and there's people that especially prominent. If you get in a church that hadn't had a pastor for a real long time, and you got a few people that have got to the top of the list, huh? And then, boy, you get in there, and somebody starts talking about being filled with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gonna fill. They're not gonna be happy, because back to what we already talked about, they're not going to call the shots any longer. The Holy Spirit's going to call the shots, and the Holy Spirit's going to lead the church. And because here's the thing, what happens when we get filled with the Spirit? Guess what happens? You die to yourself.
Amen.
Well, the power broker don't want to die to himself because he's in a position. He's in a position somehow. And then when the Holy Spirit fills us and fills the church, guess what we find out? He's running the church. The Holy Spirit's running the church and not us. And the Holy Spirit just throws man's agenda out the window. That crowd, which they're really part of some of these other crowds, they're not going to be happy in a Spirit-filled church. Then there's the next one is the confused worshipers. The confused worshipers are not going to be happy in a Spirit-filled church. And a lot of have, like, once again, this goes back with the entertainment business. A lot of people have confused entertainment with worship. You know, I've shared with you before, people call here, want to know who the worship leader is. I say, me. Oh, you're the song leader? No, I'm the worship leader. I'm the pastor. The pastor was a worship leader. We're not worship. You know, so they've called the music leader, director, whatever you want to, title you want to tag them with, the worship leader, because they disassociate singing, which can be entertainment, to worship. Now, you can sing and worship God, sure. You can pray and worship God. You can hear the Word of God and worship God.
Amen.
You can just sit there in silence and worship God. Sometimes that's some of the best. Huh? You can You can just, you know, there's so many ways. There's no set thing to worshiping God. And so we've got this, we got a confused thing. It's like worshiping God is we've got to drum up that some kind of an emotional response and have that, and that's it. Listen, as I said, worship's never about the person worshiping. It's never about the worshiper.
Amen.
It's always about the person being worshiped. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Like I said, singing in church is not entertainment. Our it's not even our singing's not to be entertainment. And the motives, the wrong motives, the great thing about a filling of the Spirit is we'll still sing, guess what? But the motive may change to the best. It's the motives that change, why we do what we do. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, there's more healing joy in 5 minutes of true worship than 5 nights of reveling, partying out. No one ever worshiped God and then committed suicide over or as a result of a hangover. Nobody ever worshiped God and committed suicide as a result of a hangover. Man, that's really, you know, what worship is about. Another group, one more group that wouldn't be happy, and that is the cultural Christian. The cultural Christian. Well, what's a cultural Christian? That's where a church becomes a center of culture. It's something that we do for different reasons. There's people that, man, you know how many people, there's so many people I know that they're so interested in getting their kids in church. And they should be. They should be. But it's all about the kids. They think God is for the kids. They don't look at God as for them and the kids, right? Like it's God for them. So they want to get their kids to all the events, but they themselves don't go. We pick some up on the bus. Sometimes they send them. Sometimes they drop them off. They want to get the kids there. But people that want like things, like events, like we know, we got to. And sometimes we get confused about this. There's nothing wrong with having things. It's not. But we get thinking, oh, you know what we need to do? We got to have something going on. We got to have an event. You know, we got to do this. We got to do that. We got to get something that we're going to have. And, you know, sometimes people come to church, you know what? You get some young people coming. Man, old Jenna Fringer. Man, Jenna Fringer was a great, she was a great asset to the church. Huh? Boy, the boys liked her. Huh? We got whole big families coming to this church. And one of them, Dwayne Gwynn, still comes here because of that. Because one of their board and series boys liked Jenna. And so that brought the whole family come dragging in. Now, motive for them may have been incorrect, but they got in, right? But listen, you know what? If you're going to church because you're looking for a girlfriend, are you looking for a boyfriend? Are you looking for a wife? Are you looking for a husband? It's just a cultural center. I'm going to go down there, man. I might get lucky. I'm going to go down. We're looking for those or things to do. We got something going on. Let's go down there. This could be the center. It could be the center and still not be. And I don't think you're going to be happy in a spirit-filled church because you're looking for the wrong thing. A person wouldn't do that. Just a place to go each week. There's people that go to church, you know what? Because they ain't got nothing else to do. Older people will get in that trap. They don't have anything else to do. Let's just go down to the church. We'll get down there and hang out. Are they really coming to worship God? No, maybe not. Meet friends. Maybe I meet some friends. Maybe just burn up time. Maybe because they're lonely. Those people, they're not looking to be filled with the Spirit. They're not looking to find out, so they're not going to be happy with that. See, now it may result, things may change, you know. Their heart may change. God may speak to them. All that's a possibility. But I'm just saying, normally, right up front, they're probably not going to be happy in a spirit-filled church. It's not really exactly what they're looking for. Now, they may get to where they're looking for it. So we look at all these categories. You know what? When you start looking at that, boy, there's not very many people that's going to be happy in a spirit-filled church. It's got to be somebody that's really looking for this, really desiring this. They start to understand some things and really let God just take over what's going to happen, man. This throws everything out of whack. I mean, what we call out of whack, it'd be in whack as far as God's concerned. You know, another thing, a spirit-filled church don't always draw, it's not going to draw the worldly crowd, huh? You get filled with the Spirit of God in the church right there. Most churches, the average church, you're going to lose some people. Huh? The people that are in these other categories, they say, man, they're going nuts. We was already nuts. You just didn't know it. They're going nuts. Now, we're not going to go in there. They're not comfortable. See, they're uncomfortable. That's what I'm saying. They're uncomfortable. So they're not, the worldly crowd's not going to, it's not going to draw. And listen, I'm not interested in drawing the world just so we can have a big crowd on Sunday morning. I mean, I believe that lost people, you know, they can't. Really, the church isn't for lost people. You ever thought about that? It's good that a lost person comes. They might hear the preaching word, but the church is ecclesia, called out assembly of people, of God's people. The church really is for God's people. Now, we can get a lost person in here and get them saved, but it's really not. So listen, a worldly person, the lost person comes in, he ought not be comfortable. In a sense, he ought to be welcome, but not comfortable. Man, if he comes into a church, a lost person that don't know Christ, and they come into a church, they ought to be welcomed by all the people there. They ought to feel welcome. But I tell you what, they ought to be not comfortable, because they ought to be thinking, man, there's something different about these people. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. There's something different about them. And they look around and they think, man, they got something I don't have. And I think that in the book of Acts right there, I'm going to tell you what happened in that church. You come in that church right there, you got saved or you got out. There's no way in the world you could stay in there. It said fear came upon all of them. Fear. There was an awesomeness about it. And it's going to drive you one thing. It's either going to drive you out or it's going to drive you to get it, to want what they have. That's it. They shouldn't be spiritually comfortable. And if they are, you got a worldly church. You got a worldly church. That's all there is to it. And so there should be something, and sometimes, listen, sometimes we get all wound up. We're going to do anything to get a big crowd. And you know what happens then? Numbers has become a god. Numbers can be your idol. Oh, man, you know, we got, huh? Listen, we can have a circus and get numbers, right? I mean, you know, there's a lot of ways you can get. We can give $100 bills away. I don't even know if that would do it nowadays. But we could do something in the entertainment line. We could do some things and get a big crowd. We could. You know, you can get a crowd. We can get a big crowd. You get a big crowd at the carnival, right? We don't get that crowd down here. Huh? We don't get that crowd down here. You can get one at the carnival. Guess we'll have to have hot dogs and fries with vinegar and salt, which that wouldn't be a bad idea, right? Huh? Instead of spirit filled, we'd be hot dog filled, right? We know, but I don't know that that's going to be what you got. I tell you what, I think you get filled with the Spirit of God, you ain't going to give a rip about a hot dog or French fries. You might go ahead and go on a fasting deal for a while because you don't want to get out of church. You don't want to go eat. You don't want to do nothing but be filled with God. And so that's it. So the question here in closing is, what about you? You know, would you be comfortable? You yourself, would you be comfortable in a real spirit-filled church? And we ought to have a spirit-filled church. We ask God to fill us with His Spirit. Ask God to fill the place with an awareness. I like to word it that way, that there's just an awareness. I know that we're saved and we have Christ in us. But I don't know that awareness is always felt on the outside. When somebody walks in, and I know of stories where this has happened in a bigger scale, but they ought to walk in and say, hey, man, God is here. God is here. And hopefully that breaks them down and they say, hey, man, I need to get saved. And a lot of times I think people don't get saved in churches like they used to because they don't feel God is there. They don't notice it. They're not feeling God calling to them. So listen, pray Luke 11:13 every day. Ask God to fill you with the Spirit before you make a move out the house. Certainly before you make a move to come to church, man, see what God will do. Man, we keep praying and asking God to do that. And you might not be comfortable at first, but you get used to it, huh? Amen. And you know what? You know what's a great thing? It'll get to the point where you won't be happy. No other way unless you fill with God. When you fill with God, you know you got joy. You know you got peace, man. You fill with the love of God. Man, when you've got that, and you're not going to be satisfied with nothing this world's got to offer.
Amen.
No substitute, no replacement. Even at church, nothing's going to replace being filled with God. Amen? Let's pray to that intent. We'll have a song. We lost our words, and a couple people came up and said, hey, you know, I liked when we just had music and we weren't singing. We just went down to the altar. Huh? You like it? All right, I'll tell you what, we'll have an invitation. Play the song we got at Calvary. Let's just stand up, and if you're not coming to the altar, pray where you are, or if you want to come down to the altar and pray, let's just have some prayer. We ain't got to worry about singing. Let's worry about worshiping. How about that? Singing.